Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I would have to say that Donald Trump and Franklin Graham are killing it today. Just killing it. They're just killing it. Now, they're killing different things and for different reasons, but they're both killing it, so I'll get to that here in a couple of minutes. Of course, this is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. Free for All Friday, which just means I've got a bunch of different stories that I want to get to and things I want to talk about. The other day was Constitution Day. This was 229th year since our Constitution signing. This was on September 15th. So I'm going to a story from the Daily Signal there, which brings up some great points. And you may or may not know this. I teach the Constitution and civics to high school age homeschoolers here in Raleigh, North Carolina, where I live and broadcast from. And so most people pretty clueless, unfortunately, about the Constitution, the brilliance of that document, and what it means today. But some people on the Supreme Court and other people on the federal court level, not so friendly towards the U.S. Constitution. So I'll read a little bit from that article. No, the Constitution isn't outdated, by John York at the Daily Signal. Some really interesting polling numbers as we look at what's going on with Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. And then, of course, here in North Carolina, with what's going on with first started as the NBA, right? So here in North Carolina, we passed the HB2, quote unquote, bathroom bill. The main thrust of that bill is to say that, well, in our Neolithic Neanderthal type way, that boys use the boys' room and girls use the girls' room. And if you get sex reassignment surgery and then you change your birth certificate, then you can go use that bathroom that corresponds to what you just did to yourself. And then, you know, no harm, no foul in that point. But, of course, that's backwards and bigoted and hateful. So Franklin Graham, who is has been wading into the so-called culture war for years, I think this is the best piece of communication I've ever seen come out of him. This is a letter that he wrote to Commissioner John D. Swofford of the ACC. He brings out so many incredible points, the hypocrisy involved and what many of these organizations are doing, the NBA, the ACC, the NCAA, and whether you want to start talking about companies like PayPal or Apple, wherever, who are so duplicitous. They are, I operate this way here and I operate the other way over there, and their own hypocrisy to where they get upset at a state like North Carolina, and basically extortion and blackmail and financial assault and financial rape going on. It's selective. Remember, there is an election going on right now, and our courageous governor, Pat McCrory here in North Carolina, is standing firm and has been standing firm on this issue since they passed the law. My friend who's been on the show many times before, Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest, also doing the same. And most of the legislature, although now that you've got the NBA pulling the 2017 All-Star Game, you've got the NCAA pulled like seven or eight different type championships from the state of North Carolina. Then the ACC, which of course makes up the conference for most of the big colleges in North Carolina, doing the same thing. And so that amount of pressure, and now the estimates are somewhere between $100 and $150 million in lost business, lost revenue for the state of North Carolina because of the extortionists that are coming after our state. And you know, McCrory's running for re-election. Roy Cooper, who's our missing in action MIA attorney general, who refused to defend the North Carolina Marriage Amendment and refuses to defend the HB2 because, you know, our federal government suing the state of North Carolina, and much to the state leadership's credit, they sued them first. So that's where we're at in the United States of America. But Franklin Graham totally killed it in this letter. And unfortunately, there's a couple of Republican legislators in North Carolina where they're just the heat's too hot and now they want to get out of the kitchen. So that's starting to happen as they're starting to see the financial hit on their own communities, not just the state itself, but their own communities. And that's affecting local politics. And that's really the test, isn't it? I mean, everybody's got their limit somewhere. Now, if you don't operate from a Christian worldview, and even if you do, your limit very well might be tied to dollar amount. And as soon as it costs you so much amount of money, and then as a representative elected official, that money that's going to cost your citizens might cost you your seat. Well, all of a sudden, your strong stance for a biblical or just moral or just rational or just common sense positions starts to fold like a cheap suit. And that's where you really get down to character. Character is easy when it's not going to cost you anything. But when it's going to cost you something, and it might cost you your seat in the country club we know as elected politics, well, then that's when you start to separate the men from the boys, which I know sounds like a sexist statement, but I don't really care. So so a lot to talk about, but let me jump on these polls right quick because this is very interesting. Hillary did not have a very good week. So a bunch of polls that came out. The one that came out today was the LA Times USC tracking poll, which had a general election, Trump versus Clinton, had Trump Trump's up. Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but by 6 points. Donald Trump's in that one. So there's a bunch of polls from yesterday, Thursday, September 15th, Constitution Day. General election, Trump versus Clinton versus Johnson versus Stein. So it throws in the third party candidates. Fox News had Clinton up one, but you take the third party candidates out, Trump's up one. You had the general election, Trump versus Clinton versus Johnson versus Stein. CBS News, New York Times, it's a tie. You had the Rasmussen poll that had Trump up two. You had LA Times USC tracking poll in a general election, just Trump versus Clinton. Trump up six, like I mentioned. Another one, Emerson, Trump up four. Monmouth, Trump up eight. And then you get into actual states. In Michigan, which is so blue, has been so blue in the past, but Clinton's only up three in Michigan. In Ohio, which is a must-win state, it now shows a Suffolk poll shows Trump up three. In Missouri, that's a no-brainer, Trump up 13. In Virginia, Clinton's only up three. Blue, usually Virginia is much stronger than that, but only up three. In North Carolina, where I live, the Civitas, the most recent poll, when you have Clinton and Trump and Johnson, a tie. And we went largely Obama. And has been kind of turning more blue, but a tie there. Fox News, Atlanta, and Georgia, Trump up four. And Georgia Emerson poll, Trump up six. So it's amazing how quickly these things change. And the Electoral College numbers aren't quite as attractive for Donald Trump, but there is a change there. I think a lot of this is going to come down to the debates. Will he lose it and call her any number of things? Or really keep calm and just paint her as, well, what she is, Crooked Hillary. A lot to get to. I can't wait to read for you Franklin Graham's letter. It's just awesome. This is Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. We'll be right back. Noble Call to Action Radio. I don't want to get all paranoid because I haven't been given a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. But come on, friend. I need you. If you're anywhere in North Carolina, if you're listening on the Truth Radio Network, especially if you're here in the Raleigh-Durham Chapel Hill area, I really do. I need your help. So we've got Call to Worship coming up on Tuesday, November 1st. Tickets are just $10. That music you just heard, that's Matt Papa, phenomenal praise and worship. He'll be leading us that night. My slightly older brother from another mother, Bishop Patrick L. Wooden Sr., I'm going to do an onstage interview with him. We'll talk about Black Lives Matter and the presidential election, which will be 1 week later. So that night we will definitely spend some time together in prayer for our nation and over the election. And then you'll hear the incredible testimony as we're going to talk some more about what's going on here in North Carolina. And whether you live here or not is really irrelevant because this story is going all around the nation, all around the world, as the battle lines are getting more pronounced and the trenches in between them are getting deeper as North Carolina is completely and totally under attack by very, very powerful forces, ultimately the forces of evil. But in front of that, up above the surface, the ACC, the NBA, and the NCAA, they're all attacking North Carolina and pulling out all these games and championship events, costing the state anywhere from 100 to 150 million in lost revenue. This is serious stuff. And the reason they're coming after North Carolina is because North Carolina's stance on this transgender issue is basically the Christian biblical stance. Now, they're not selling it that way, obviously, but that's what it is. And so in this country where we are increasingly getting at odds with anything that has anything to do with the things of God, if you can trace the line back to some Bible reference or some kind of Christian attitude or worldview, that's the enemy. And so here you see the duplicitous nature of these groups, by the way, which Franklin Graham, I'm going to read this letter, just killing it. But Walt Heyer, who's been down the gender road, all the surgeries, all that stuff. I mean, all the surgeries. And then God's brought him back from all of that. He's remarried now. He's in his 70s. A phenomenal story. So called to worship in that evening, a great night for us to get together. Oftentimes, that's the only way I get to meet many of you face-to-face and shake your hand and thank you for your support. And we need your support. We don't need to raise a ton of money, but we need to raise a little bit. And that's the one time a year that we kind of come together and do that at the same time praising and worshiping. And by the way, supporting ministry is also part of praising and worshiping God. But I'll just tell you, ticket sales have not been awesome. So, I mean, we've got a nice venue, RFA Church here in Raleigh, North Carolina, spectacular, brand new venue, beautiful, beautiful sanctuary, incredible sight and sound abilities. It's going to be awesome. But if there's only 100 people there, we've sold like 110 tickets or whatever, we lose money because we got to pay the band. We got to pay to get Walt in here and his speaker fee. We got to pay for some other stuff. So unless we get enough people come out, we actually lose money, and this little ministry is in no position to do that. And I'm not in the position to just front it financially myself. That's why I have like 4 or 5 jobs so that I can provide for my family. And I thank God for all those opportunities, and I love all the things that I'm doing. But not one thing that I do can provide for my family, so I do many things. And that's just the way it goes. So please, I hope this ministry and this show is a blessing to you. And go get your tickets and come out and help support it if it is. I would be deeply appreciative, and not in your debt, I'm in the Lord's debt, but deeply appreciative to you for your support of what God has called me to do in this radio show. C2AToday.com is our website, C2AToday.com. If you're a Facebook person, Facebook.com/C2A Radio. The letter C, the number 2, the letter A as in called to action, C2A Radio, right there on Facebook. And I keep posting that there. Just $10 a piece. And it's a great thing to bring somebody that maybe doesn't go to church, doesn't know the Lord, because they're going to hear the gospel that night and they're going to see something that they wouldn't normally see in a church. And the way that we praise and worship together and the testimonies that you're going to hear, it's just an incredible, incredible opportunity to praise God and to support call to action. So please check that out, C2AToday.com. Okay. So back to the thing going on here in my state of North Carolina, but it's going to be coming to every state. And so Franklin Graham, I'm probably not going to get through all of this in this particular segment of the show, but I will when we come back from the break. He wrote this letter to Commissioner John D. Swofford of the ACC. Okay, that's the conference that's over like Duke and NC State and University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. And he just comes out swinging. But he also makes fantastic points. So for us as Christians, be strong, be firm, but be intellectually rigorous, make your case, and he doesn't once have to quote the Bible in here. And it's still an incredibly powerful piece because he's referencing what is true. And the ultimate source of all truth, of course, we know is God himself. While I recognize, this is Franklin Graham writing, while I recognize this legislation and legislation like it in other states is complicated by society's continued blurring of the lines of gender and sexual identity, I also recognize the profound hypocrisy of the ACC, the NCAA, and other companies and organizations who are making calculated business decisions disguised as moral outrage. For example, listen to this. The football championship game your conference voted to move from Charlotte in December is called the Dr. Pepper ACC Football Championship. Dr. Pepper and its parent company, Cadbury, Schweppes, and Carlyle Group, proudly sell their products in countries where homosexuality is illegal. Will the ACC drop its title sponsor? And why isn't the LGBT community demanding you sever ties with such a bigoted corporate sponsor? What a great question. Thank you, Franklin Graham. Currently, LGBT relationships are illegal in more than 70 countries, including 10, where homosexuality is punishable by death. Dr. Pepper is often bottled under contract by Coca-Cola bottlers, yet Coca-Cola conducts business in virtually every nation on earth, including nearly every country where homosexuality is currently criminalized. Can your conference continue to tolerate that? See the hypocrisy here? The ACC website proudly features Toyota, listen to this, as an official corporate champion. Yet Toyota maintains factories and distribution centers in several of these discriminatory countries, including Pakistan, Sri Lanka, and Egypt. Where is the moral outrage of the presidents of Boston College, Clemson, Duke, Florida State, Georgia Tech, Louisville, Miami, UNC, North Carolina State, Notre Dame, Pittsburgh, Syracuse, Virginia, Virginia Tech, and Wake Forest? Where is your outrage? How you're, did you even know? Well, now you do know. You're in bed, literally, with doing companies that do business in these places where they arrest, beat, torture, chemically castrate, and in some cases execute homosexuals. But you don't have a problem with Toyota as an official corporate champion, do you? Back to the letter. Indeed, the ACC's member schools compete in 25 sports divided by gender. Oh, haters. 12 men's sports and 13 women's. Though gender issues may be becoming more complicated in higher education and other parts of society, the athletic conference you serve as commissioner doesn't seem to have any problem distinguishing between the two genders, male and female. Yet, when a state like the one I live in seeks to make the same distinction with regard to the use of public bathrooms in an effort to protect its citizens from those who would use the men's room today and the women's room tomorrow, the academic elites who comprise your conference fake a moral outrage that is frankly shameful. Go on. This is Franklin Graham's letter to John Swofford, the head of the ACC. Ironically, the NCAA is more discriminatory towards transgender people than the public policy that apparently they wish to see as law in America. For example, opponents to legislation like NC House Bill 2 support permitting people to use the bathroom, which corresponds to the sex they identify with on a given day, meaning someone might feel like a man today and a woman tomorrow, switching bathrooms at will. Yet, even the NCAA doesn't allow such casual gender identity for participation in college athletics. I'm telling you, Franklin Graham is killing it in this letter, pointing out the unbelievable hypocrisy of the ACC, the NBA, and the NCAA, as he should. This is Steve Noble with Call to Action. I'll pick it up there when we come back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you again here on a free-for-all Friday, which is usually just I'm going through a bunch of different stories and commenting on that, as I obviously like to do. But it's great to be here with you. And by the way, if you're a Facebook person and you want to watch the radio show, we actually do that. Facebook Live is now you can live video stream. So we're live video right now on the Facebook page, facebook.com/C2A Radio, as in called to action. That's the number two. C2A Radio. That's you want to look us up on Facebook. Just go to your little search box and put C2A Radio, and then you'll see it. And it's just like your little play button on there, and boom, you're going to be watching live video of me doing the show in the studio. And then what happens is during the commercial breaks, oftentimes I'll just turn around. I'll just have another conversation. It's almost like a show within a show with Facebook, because that stays on. We stay connected, and so I'm talking to them during the breaks and everything. Hi to my beautiful, totally awesome, wonderful, incredible wife, Gina, who's out there on Facebook Live and embarrassing me because she just put the little kissy face there on Facebook. Thank you, honey. I love you, too. So I'm reading this letter from Franklin Graham that he wrote to Commissioner John D. Swofford, the incredibly irresponsible, hypocritical head of the ACC. And since we're in the South, I'll say God bless him, or bless his heart. So Franklin Graham just reading him the Riot Act, pointing out all these relationships that the ACC and the NCAA has with people like Dr. Pepper and Toyota, who are all doing business in countries where they routinely imprison, torture, beat, and sometimes murder homosexuals. It's fine being partners with them, but you come to North Carolina, where we insist by the force of law that if you have an outie, you use the men room. If you have an innie, you use the ladies room. And that way we're keeping everybody safe. We're keeping privacy rights, and we're keeping the nefarious people who would take advantage of those, the rules like Charlotte, North Carolina wanted to have, which is you just use the bathroom of what you feel like you want to gender identify with. There's no proof there. There's no card you present. So the nefarious, potential child molester or sexual molester walks into Target and starts to walk into the ladies room, in the ladies locker room, and somebody says, hey, sir, you can't be in here. Yes, I can. I gender identify as a woman. End of story. And he goes. That's what Charlotte wanted. That's what Target does. And so this is what Franklin Graham was coming after the commissioner about. So here we go. So he was getting to this point. Yet even the NCAA doesn't allow such casual gender identity for participation in collegiate athletics. Listen to this. The NCAA policy on transgender student athlete participation states, Any transgender student athlete who is not taking hormone treatment related to gender transition may participate in sex-separated sports activities in accordance with his or her assigned birth gender. So in their own operations, the NCAA says, hey, if you're taking hormone treatments, but you haven't like gotten the operation and everything, then you can only be in the sports program that assigns to your birth gender, meaning an Audi, boys teams, any girls teams. Isn't that amazing? That's what the NCAA does, and yet they turn around and come after the state of North Carolina for the exact same reason. Why is that? It's political. It's spiritual. You know, hopefully we're going to keep getting behind here and see who's pulling the strings of these different organizations. Back to Franklin Graham. I think I represent the views of millions who would rather preserve gender-specific public bathrooms, a mainstay for generations, than to attend a football game in my state to determine the champion of a conference governed by politically correct, morally hypocritical academics. Amen and amen. Please don't make political pawns of student-athletes who just want to play football or basketball in North Carolina, and don't continue to offend millions of Americans who endorse thousands of years of gender-specific bathrooms while you continue to accept corporate sponsorship money from companies proudly conducting their businesses in countries that discriminate against homosexuals to the point of death. Franklin Graham, President and CEO of Samaritan's Purse, President and CEO of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Associations. Good job, Franklin. That's awesome. Okay, so somebody is calling in. I didn't even give out the phone number, but if you'd like to respond today, and we're going to find out. We've had a few tech things happening recently. I'm going to give it a shot. But if you'd like to respond to what you're hearing and what I'm sharing, 866-348-7884, as always, 866-348-7884, if you'd like to chime in and add your thoughts to this conversation, which I'm more than happy to do. Or 866-34-TRUTH. Let me see where we're at today. Technically, let's try to go to Larry, who's calling in from Moxville. Larry, you're on with Steve. Go ahead.
Yes, Steve. I saw something on Facebook just a little while ago that might interest your listeners. It was from one of the North Carolina legislators, Jeff Tart. And he had heard that the Charlotte Observer was reporting that there might be some kind of compromise in the works between the governor and City of Charlotte. And what that involved was City of Charlotte dropping their ordinance, and then the state would drop HB2. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. I don't know how much truth there is to it, but
yeah,
something I read on Facebook.
Yeah, thanks for letting me know about that, Larry. I appreciate that. I'll look into that. And see, that's the thing, because if all of a sudden Charlotte drops the and I can't imagine, why would Charlotte do it? What's in it for them? To get some money back? No, the uber liberal city council and mayor down in Charlotte, they wanted this fight. It helps them in their case. But right now for McCrory, he went from being down 7 to up 2. And that just happened. That was in a Civitas poll. So right now, it actually might, this is probably a good thing for him amongst his base, certainly. And there are a couple legislators that are saying, oh yeah, okay, now we have to repeal it. Well, you signed it before. You were all for it before. What's changed? Oh, now it's going to cost you something. See, that's the difference. And the same thing is going to be true for you and for me as Christians. You know, it's really groovy Tuesday to be a Christian. No problem. I love Jesus. I've got my hat on right now. If you're looking at Facebook Live, facebook.com/C2A Radio, then, I've got my black hat on with my white cross on it. No problem until it starts to cost you something. And then for a couple of these legislators, now the price tag's getting too high, and they're willing to sell their integrity down the river, it would appear, and just say, oh, now we'll repeal it. Why? Well, because now it comes with a price. Well, that's not character. That's not integrity. You're just being sold to the highest bidder, and there's some other words for that, which I won't use. 866-348-7884. 866-348-7884. If you'd like to call in, or 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Waleed, who's calling in right here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Waleed, you're on with Steve. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Steve?
Good, man. How are you?
I am doing great. I just wanted to say a couple things about all these issues. You know, a lot of people can have different idols, and thankfully we have one God to worship, but other people, they have their money, they have their jobs, and personal appearance and the social media and all that craziness. But there's a quote that I got from one of the Dogs on Head movies. You know, at the end of the day, I'd rather to stand with God and judge by the world rather than stand with the world and judge by God. And that's the thing that we as Christians tend to do, thankfully. The rest of the world, man, I think...
Yeah, I'm going to – hey, Waleed, I'm going to put you back on hold because you got a really bad connection right now. But, yeah, that's the deal. Either you want to stand with the world and be judged by God or you want to stand with God and be judged by the world. And, by the way, only one of those actually has the power to judge. The world can make your life inconvenient. The world can make your life uncomfortable. The world can call you names. They can take stuff away from you. But they can't do anything to you eternally, either up or down. They can't promise and they can't take away. Only God can do that. So for us – you know, the question becomes, just like it is for legislators, what price are you going to pay for your faith? And this is going to get more obvious for us over and over again as the days get darker and as this country and its leadership turns further and further away from God. And whether it's Hillary or Donald, I mean, we're still going to maintain that trajectory away from God. And you know, for us, for you, for me, you're going to start to experiencing some things that you've never experienced before. Some persecution, be it, you know, of an American sort, but it's going to be there in the law and in the workplace. And like we see with the governors and elected officials, as this culture war is real. Now remember, it's ultimately a spiritual thing, and our weapons are not carnal, but they're spiritual, right? For tearing down strongholds, this is a spiritual thing for us, and it is for everybody. We just realize it, and most other people that don't know the Lord don't realize it. But this is what's going on, and this is the reality of what's going on, and we need to be like Franklin Graham, and he's got a huge platform, and he's using it. But he's not being kind of this obnoxious Bible thumper in this case. He's just pointing out the obvious hypocrisy of these organizations where they are not through and through on this issue. Why are they jumping on North Carolina? Well, there's something to be gained for them. They're afraid of some of the political powers that run them around. Remember, the whole school system nationwide is largely liberal. The academic world, liberal. There's so much liberal control there. And so they're just puppets. Who's pulling their strings? I don't know. Maybe we'll find out more about that as these days progress and as we see what's going on behind the NBA, the NCAA, and now the ACC. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. A couple other things, then we're coming back. And a really good story. I love this story about Chip and Joanna Gaines and their Christian witness. And we need to hear some good news from time to time. And what's the deal with the T in LGBT? This is Steve Noble, Call to Action. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. It's Called to Action Radio. The website, C2AToday.com. C2A, today as in Call to Action. C2AToday.com. Podcast there, blog posts, news stories. And then, of course, right there on the homepage, you can get your tickets for Call to Worship coming up on Tuesday, November 1st, 1 week before the massive election that will affect this country for years to come. But that night, please come out, support the ministry, and let's just get together and praise and worship and listen to some great testimony, incredible music by Matt Popup, and definitely need your help in that one. C2AToday.com is the website, C2AToday.com. Tickets are just $10. And if you could join us, that would be a huge blessing and a huge help, and I would really, really, really appreciate that. So we were talking through what's going on here in North Carolina. I go to a church here in Raleigh, North Carolina, called the Summit Church, a very well-known Southern Baptist church, and J.D. Greer is the pastor. And he and his researcher, Chris Pappalardo, came up with a great little article, which I'll post on my Facebook page, facebook.com/C2A Radio. What's the deal with the T in LGBT? So, by the way, when they talk about, hey, this is discriminated towards LGBT, you got lesbian, bisexual, gay, transgender, you know, you got to get to the T. That's transgender. So some facts here. I just want to make sure you understand some of the facts here behind transgenderism, because most people don't really understand what's going on here. So Pappalardo breaks it down into three things: genetic, sex, ambiguous genitalia and the intersexual and transgender brain pattern. So this is just a primer just to help get you educated, as well as myself, on this issue, because we have to be able to talk about it, not emotionally, although that's, you know, that's helpful, but intellectually and understanding the topics, and then bringing a compassionate yet strong and Holy Spirit empowered truth to the conversation. So genetic sex, okay? So however things look on the outside, sex is hardwired into our DNA. But since the external manifestations of sex do not always cohere with the genetics, scientists use the helpful phrase genetic sex. This refers to whether a person has XY or XX chromosomes. Genetic sex is established at conception and is binary, meaning one or the other. Despite advances in medical technology, there is still no way of altering this, as it is a part of our DNA. So you can't actually turn a man into a woman. Okay, that's the point. No matter what sexual reassignment surgeries people undergo or what hormonal supplements they take, they will always have the genetic sex they did at conception. There are periodic mutations in which individuals get other unconventional combinations, the most common of which is XXY. This is called Klinefelter syndrome, which one of the authors, he's talking about two different articles, referenced. But even though this is the most common genetic sex disorder, it only occurs in about 1 out of every 1,000 men. And most of them never manifest symptoms. If they do manifest symptoms, it is usually via infertility. All told, when it comes to genetic sex, when you know that that's the DNA deal, you're on level ground. That's solid ground, okay? At the DNA level, there really is just male and female. Number two, and this is one of the areas that you have to know about and be able to speak to compassionately, okay? Ambiguous genitalia and the intersexual. Now, when it comes to genitalia, the situation is slightly different. Sometimes, now if you have little kids in the car or listening at home, whatever, you might want to shush them out of the room here for a minute or go ahead and change the channel and get the podcast later. But this is important. Sometimes a genetically female child will have an enlarged, which then can resemble the part from a guy. Or a genetically male child will lack one or both of their, testicles. In most of these cases, the abnormality is minor and can be corrected surgically. This is sometimes referred to as ambiguous genitalia, though some people with this condition prefer the title intersexual. So now what people that are trying to advance the cause of transgenderism will say, well, some people are born and they have the opposite person's genitalia. No, that's not a factual statement. The girl has something that appears to be what a guy has, but it isn't. And the guy can have a problem, testicular problem, that doesn't make them a girl or halfway a girl, okay? So you got to understand these realities. Again, the numbers here are very small. Only 1 in 1,000 babies undergoes corrective surgery for genitalia abnormalities. Not all cases of ambiguous genitalia require corrective surgery, of course, so the number of instances might be higher, though only slightly so. If there is a measure of gray in this discussion, this is where it is. But keep in mind that even in the worst cases of ambiguous genitalia, we are not talking about the DNA level where gender is still clear. To be blunt, friend, what we're talking about here are birth defects. And a birth defect doesn't lead you down a road to, like Abby Austin, who was on this show not that long ago, 36 sex reassignment surgeries plus hormone treatments over the course of 5 years. It's not DNA. It's not a genetic situation. It's spiritual. It's mental. It's somewhat environmental. Okay? But it's not genetic. It wasn't like, oops, God messed that up. Okay? You got to understand this. And note that the overwhelming majority of those who identify as transgender are not those with abnormalities in genetic and genital sex. Even the Intersex Society of North America admits that transgendered people, quote, have an internal experience of gender identity that is different from most people, not an identity based on their ambiguous anatomical makeup. The word internal is key, okay? So it's not DNA. Something didn't go wrong, and you've got a woman trapped in a man's body. Okay, that's why you got to understand these facts. Transgender brain patterns. Talking about this. Okay, this sort of research is legitimately fascinating even for people like me, the author, who are not neuroscientists. But on the whole, current research like this fails to prove what many want it to. The study itself seems reputable, having been published in the Journal of Psychiatric Research. And even though the sample size is small, 61 total people, I trust that there really is a brain difference at play here. The issue is not with the findings themselves, but the interpretation. The white matter of the brain is not uniformly understood. As far as modern scientists can tell, the white matter specializes in connections between aspects of the brain. This is kind of getting in the deep weeds here. But what they're talking about, the thesis of that story, was that transgender people actually have different white matter in their brains, that the feeling of being a man trapped in a woman's body is corroborated by the brain. So then you gotta make the body catch up to the brain. That's the basic point here. That's what they're going at. It's not all surprising that those who feel like they are truly men, despite anatomical evidence to the contrary, would have brain features that reflect this feeling. The brain is, after all, the seat of our self-image and of all cognition. If we deeply believe something, it will be reflected in our brain activity. But this research begs the question. Our brains are not fixed determiners of our identity. In fact, the opposite is much more the case. The choices we make change the brain and over time literally change our self-identity. Even with this research, the question remains, should we submit our identity to another's lordship? The transgender community answers with a forceful no. And this is where we part ways. So that's what they say. So my identity, which now I've convinced myself, and then that shows up in some of your brain activity. Do you submit it to another's lordship? In this case, God, the creator? That's where this always comes back to. It always comes back to truth. And truth finds its root, its origin, its creation in God himself revealed in God's word. But you got to know these facts so that you're not easily swayed. Because believe me, I sat down there. You know this. I sat 3-hour dinner and there were two transgender people there. And of course, 2.5 hours with Abby Austin not that long ago. And they'll come right at you with things that sound legitimate and sound scientific. But it's all twisting because DNA is DNA. And you're either a man or woman at birth based on your DNA. And you cannot change that. You can mask it. You can mutilate the outside of your body, rearrange, mask, transform visually, and try to come up with like a reasonable facsimile of the other sex. But you're still a man. Abby Austin is still a man. Changed the outside of his body, changed his name, changed his appearance. But Abby Austin is still a man. All right, one last thing. This is really on the positive side. I just wanted to finish with something a little more uplifting here. Chip and Joanna Gaines, of course, you know, they've got the huge show when they fix up, right? They fix up houses and they buy the house real cheap and then they fix it up and they do the big reveal, all that fun stuff. But I don't know if you know this, they're Christians. So they were recently on CBS Sunday Morning with an exclusive interview, and this is a great example of and they're not talking about HB2, they're not talking about same-sex marriage, they're not talking about political issues on their show. It's how they live, which then provides a platform for what they believe. So they've renovated hundreds of homes. I'm reading from this article on QPolitical.com in Texas and are widely renowned for their unashamed faith in Christ, love for their family, and generosity. Hand in hand, the dynamic duo has built an empire from the ground up, all the while giving glory to God. They recently shared that their primary goal in life is to keep Christ first and foremost in their lives. The Gaines shared, quote, "Our family has made a commitment to put Christ first, a lifestyle our parents modeled for us very well. They showed us how to keep our marriage and family centered around God. As for Fixer Upper, we have been surprised at the impact of our faith through the show. We haven't been overtly evangelical, but the rich feedback we have received on family and love all sourced from our faith. Jesus said that the world would know his disciples by their love for one another, and we've glimpsed this in practice and strive for it every day." Now, ultimately, I'm Mr. Cynic, right? Which is one of the reasons I'm on the radio, I suppose. And so my original thought is, you know, it's like that a quote that's attributed to St. Francis of Assisi that he actually never said. At all times, share the gospel, and when absolutely necessary, use words. Well, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So you have to share, to say it. People have to hear the gospel. But first, they look at your life. They look at the way you love one another. They look at the way you love others. They look at the way you run your business. They look at the way you're an employee. They look at the way you're an employer. And then they're like, wow, you're pretty awesome. Your marriage looks great. You're wonderful people. What makes you tick? Why do you do these things? What's important to you? Well, I'm so glad you asked. And that's the point for us and for this couple, Chip and Joanna Gaines, where you got to give an answer for the hope that you have. I'm hopeful and fairly confident that they share the gospel when it's appropriate and when they have the opportunity to. But it's just awesome to see them living the life of a Christian, which is so abnormal in this society anymore, to be salt and light is to live out the Sermon on the Mount. So let's all take some time this weekend. Read Matthew 5, and if we live like that, we'll have way more opportunities to share the gospel. This is Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.